In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Love makes us do absolutely crazy things. Crazy things. I mean, just think about it. Think about the people you love in your lives. Think about your children, your spouse, your parents, your friends. When you love someone, you do crazy things. You start to reorganize your life, your schedule. You change how you spend your time a little bit. You want to start spending more time with those people. And you just start to feel a little fearless, I think. You start doing, you know, these crazy things. And just like we see in our gospel today, you start to shower your beloved with these gifts of affection and kindness. I think that's normal. I think that's part of what it is to be in love. It's, you do crazy stuff. You do. I'll just talk a little bit louder, I think. And that's exactly what was going on in our gospel today. Because just a couple lines before our story today, we had one of the craziest stories of love in the entire Bible. And I remind you that the Bible is a book of love. It's a story of God's love for all of humanity. So it's no surprise that we see these moments of love. But just a couple lines prior, we see Jesus, and we hear the gospelists tell us that Jesus is at the tomb, the stench-filled tomb of his dead friend Lazarus. And we know how this story goes. Jesus calls out into the tomb and says, "Get up, Lazarus," and he gets up, and Lazarus comes back. He crosses from death into life. And this is a reckless act of God's love for his friend. And I explain myself because Jesus knew that this act of love would attract the attention of all of the wrong people. All of the people who were threatened by Jesus' power to bring people back from death to life. Jesus knew that his act of raising his friend from the dead would lead to his own death. Jesus' act of raising his friend was an act of reckless love. And then now we get into our gospel today, and we see this other crazy act of love. Reckless love, I would say. You see, it's 6 days before the Passover, 6 days before Jesus is going to the cross, and he's spending his time with this pretty odd bunch, really. A guy who had just been dead a few lines before, and two women. For a first century Jew, this is not who you spend your time with. And the story gets even more strange because we see Mary approach Jesus from behind and bring this jar of ointment to anoint his feet with. And this might have been an act of hospitality and kindness and love, but the story gets more strange because she cracks open this jar and begins wiping his feet with her hair. It's strange. And yet there was something in Mary that drew her to do this act of love for her friend, for her Lord. There's something that drew her in love. And I say that this act of hers is an act of reckless love because of how much of this perfume she gave. She put so much on his feet that the whole house began to smell of a beautiful fragrance. And suddenly that smell that was in their noses, that stench of the grave of their friend Lazarus, was pushed out of their memory. And there was this beautiful smell of hope and resurrection filling the house. And I say that this is also an act of reckless love because we hear what Judas says, right? He says, "We could have sold this for 300 denarii. So what?" The 300 denarii is a lot of money, because one denarius was a single day's pay. 300 denarii is an entire year's labor. She gave this enormous gift of love for her friend, simply because she loved him. We do this in our own lives when we love people. We do crazy things. And I don't want to get our attention away from the theological significance of this too, because the story ends, and what does Jesus say? Mary had done this act of anointing, not just to anoint for hospitality, or how we see in the Old Testament that we anoint kings, but she was anointing her friend, anointing his body for his burial. His burial. His burial became what would be for us the greatest, most reckless act of love coming from God in all humanity, in all time. Maybe she knew it and maybe she didn't, what she was preparing Jesus for. But her reckless act of love had more than just this one-to-one influence. Her reckless act of love had universal influence. And I want to suggest that even though we might not always see how our acts of love can have this influence, that they can. You see, because love begets more love. We might not always see how that works. It's not a perfect equation, but our reckless love can change the world. It can push us from death to life. It can push us from a direction of despair into a direction of resurrection. And yes, the pragmatist in me wants to agree with Judas, because he had a point there, right? I mean, we could have sold this money, is what he says. And we could have given all this money to the poor. And yeah, I totally agree with that. That's a good point. And yet, and if we had done that, I would even say that that would have been a reckless act of love. And it is. And yet, when we measure our acts of love, and when we calculate too long, and we delay and try to weigh, what might be the best option here? What should we actually do? Maybe we form a committee and try to figure out, what should we actually be doing next? Sometimes we wait so long that we never act. And so we have to jump in with reckless abandon and simply love at times. And again, Judas might have been right. There is some truth to his statement. Again, I give this to him. We could have sold the money for the poor. But we know where that feeling is coming from. It is a feeling of selfishness and greed. And even as true as Judas' statement might have been, Jesus' statement is all the more true. For as long as Judas' selfishness exists in us and in our world, we will always have the poor with us. And so we act with reckless love. Because God loved us when God created the world. God loved us when God redeemed the world. God loved us when God rose his friend Lazarus from the dead. And God loves each and every one of us as we look forward to the hope of eternal life. And now as we're getting closer and closer to the Sunday of Easter, just 2 weeks away, I encourage us to push on with love as we anticipate the coming of Christ again in God's most reckless act of love for all of humanity. That we act recklessly in love these next 2 weeks as we prepare for that great Easter Sunday. And so we push on. We push on in love like Mary did for her friend. We push on in love like Jesus did for his friend Lazarus. And we push on because God loved us when he created the world. And God calls us to love one another. God calls us to love because the world needs love. And I remind us, finally, like Bishop Curry says over and over again, we love because love is the only way. Amen.